I've heard them sugarcoat it. I know how to bring a message that everybody just goes out loving. But have you ever noticed that those like that, you can't remember a jolly thing 2 weeks later? Especially when your life is in peril, when everything's going wrong, your baby's dying, your mother's dying, you've lost your job. All these stories, most sermons that you hear in most churches, it's just stories. They just tell you sad story after sad story. You can't remember them when you, because the Holy Spirit is not obligated to bring them to your remembrance. But He is obligated by Scripture itself to bring Scripture to your remembrance to save you when you're in trouble. And so I'm trying to get you to see tonight that God is telling us here, it isn't enough to know the Scriptures, to have them memorized. He wants someone that will do. And even that is not the right meaning. See, if you only see that, you still haven't got it, but I'm going to get there. Okay? That'll hold you till I elaborate. Okay? Have you got it? And then look here. Now let me stop there. See, some of you think, because you've been taught so poorly, having not really compared Scripture with Scripture, and you'll look in Corinthians in chapter 12, and you'll think things like, well, if anyone calls Jesus Lord, that's the test to see if they're saved. Listen. I know an archbishop that got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was in a meeting with me one time, sitting out in the audience. One time he was in a meeting. The first time he ever came, he stood up at the end and asked if he could speak. And he had his robe and everything on. And I said, yes. And he chided the audience. He upbraided the audience. And he said, why is it I'm taking copious notes and none of you are? He said, I breathe Greek and Hebrew. He said, I've been to seminary 16 years. He said, this man knows more than I ever knew about Jesus. He says, the problem is, I know Greek and Hebrew, but this guy knows Jesus. And if I feel like I need to write notes, why don't you? That embarrassed me. The next time the man spoke to me, though, he blew it. He was with me. We were having a Bible study in a bar. You can get people to come to a Bible study in a bar. And I was teaching a message that many of you have heard, Blood Covenant Number 1. And the point I made was, I said it was, that a marriage was a blood covenant where two became one by the shedding of blood. And a very well-educated, very sophisticated, very well-dressed, very proper, highly cultured woman was in the audience. And her son's in this room at this very minute. And I'd led him to the Lord, introduced him to Jesus not long before that. And she just leaped up out of her chair, actually came to the floor. Picture it happening tonight in this room. This well-dressed, very wealthy, well-to-do, very cultured woman leaped to her feet when I said a marriage was a blood covenant. She leaped to her feet and screamed at me, that's a lie! Just like that. Well, I looked at her. Looked over at the archbishop, and I said, no, madam, it is not a lie. Now, if you will sit down and allow me to finish, I'll be happy to talk to you about it afterwards. Do you know I already knew she was divorced? I mean, that didn't require a word of knowledge. I mean, anyone that hates the marriage covenant that bad. And afterwards, we began to talk to this woman about her soul, and the archbishop just kind of took over. And he said, madam, can you say the words, Jesus is Lord? And she said, Jesus is Lord. She said, that's it, Brother Floyd, she's saved. I couldn't believe it. This woman was so lost, it was unbelievable. And he said, see, you can't say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It says a spirit can't do it. But a man can. I did it for years. How do you know, Floyd? Jesus said so. He said, there's going to be people saying, Lord, Lord, that do not do my will. And at judgment, they're going to be saying, Lord, in your name I did great things. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. He didn't say, I used to know you, we used to walk together, and then you lost it. He said, I never knew you. It's amazing how people that know one scripture can get in so much trouble with it. And he patted her on her head and sent her on her way, telling her that all was right with her soul. So that's a big point. But then I want you to see this. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now the first thing I want you to see is that Jesus made it certain that we understood that he was not speaking of Joseph the carpenter. He didn't stop saying, you must do the will of my Father. He got the point over that he is totally unique. And notice he didn't say the will of our Father. When he said my in this specific instance, he was making sure we understood and his audience understood that there was a new, unique relationship between him and the Father that we didn't have. You know, there's a lot going on in the church today. It's been going on for about 15 years. More and more fun is being made of, quote, the Father's will. Praying in the will of the Father. Praying for the will of the Father as though we always know the will of the Father. What arrogance. What spiritual pride and arrogance to think that you always know, any of us, always know the will of the Father in every instance. I can tell you it is the will of the Father that people die. Because they have sinned. And because they have a sin nature. It is His will that we do. If it were not, we wouldn't. It'll hit you in a minute. It wasn't what He wanted Adam and Eve to do, but He knew they would. I want you to understand that that's how far He was willing to go in order to create creatures that really were free to choose. When He made that decision, He foreknew what it would cost Him. I want you to understand it'd be much like a girl that's a robot. No fun to kiss a girl that's a robot and have her tell you what a great kisser you are. You are the greatest lover I have ever seen. And you also are the best athlete. Oh my, oh my. Look, I'd rather have a girl like my wife that even tells me when I'm wrong. And when I blow it, just for those actual occasions when she does say, you're the best. You're mine. I love you. Because see, that was real. I took the chance of it coming out wrong when she said, I've got something to tell you, honey. You know, see, once they tell you that, you don't know what's coming next. But you see, that's what life's all about, is those real relationships whereby the opportunity is there to go the other way. God wanted a real family, and He could only have a real family. He created some sons, but a third of them blew it. Now you hear that? He made them sons by an act of creation out of nothing. They were not generated. Angels were not generated. We're generated. And to replace them, because God had a plan for their lives and they failed. They will never live up to that. They will not fulfill their mission, their intended mission for existence. And so God is going to bring about some other children that will fulfill that work. I sanctified guess submit to you that the number of people that will be saved from the time of Adam until the end of the millennium will be exactly the number of however many, one-third of all the angels were. That we will exactly, one for one, replace them in God's plan for all eternity for His sons. Oh, come on, if I'm wrong, it isn't worth a new denomination over. You know, give me a break. But I want you to see that all this fun is being made of the will of the Father, praying in God's will and everything. You may as well pray in His will. Because if it isn't His will, I don't care how many times you fast, hold your breath, or whatever, it's going to happen. And if you do happen to get His permissive will, you'll be miserable over it. If He finally says, oh, okay, I'll let you have it because you don't seem to be willing to learn any other way, you will not like learning that way. That's like the time we let Mindy, when she was about 2 years old, when Shirley let her learn the word hot. We had a, I've told this story before, but we had a space heater on the floor in this little apartment we lived in. And we were both just so afraid she was going to get terribly burned because she had just begun walking. And you know how it is when they just begin walking, you know, it's two steps up and three steps down and bump their head when they fall and bump their head on, you know, coming up under the coffee table or whatever it is when they get up. They're just, you know, it's just awful. And we were so afraid she was going to get burned on that. And we kept trying. We'd yell at her, no, no, hot, hot. We'd run, get her and pull her away from it. And you know what that did? She'd just walk right back that way. So one day I come in from work and I'm tired and it's cold outside and the fire's going. And I've got some hot chocolate and Shirley's got some hot coffee and we're sitting over there and everything. And I'm reading something and I look over and here's Mindy going right for Shirley's coffee. And Shirley, I look up and Shirley's just looking at her. I mean, Shirley's sitting right there and isn't doing anything. And Mindy just takes this little hand. You know, she's got one of those little, I call them the sweet pea outfits. You know, the little suit that you put over them, you know, that have the little feet in them and everything, you know. And she's sitting there, and she's got her hand heading right for the hot coffee. But you see, Shirley already had tested the coffee. She knew just how hot it was. She knew it was hot enough to make the point, but not hot enough to do permanent injury. And so Mindy stuck her hand right in that coffee. Shoot. And it's too late for me. I see it. I'm too far away. It's too late for me to do one jolly thing. I can't even yell. It's too late. And in goes that hand. Shoot. And out came that hand. With this shocked expression on her face. And Shirley bent forward, looked at her and said, hot. The very next time Mindy was walking toward the furnace, Shirley said, hot, and Mindy nearly jumped out of those little jammies she had on. And so, beloved, though it were painful for the moment, for the hot coffee, Shirley, in love, allowed it to happen to save her from much worse. That's what parents do, because children just won't learn the easy way. Now, we have a Father, and I want to testify to you that in Scripture and in my life, and I can most certainly say in yours also, He teaches us exactly the same way. And it isn't that He wants to, it's He tries saying, no, no, hot, hot, and we just keep going, so finally says, okay, stick your finger in it, you know. Then we reel back, of course, and say, oh, God, how could you let that happen to me? And so Jesus, I'm pointing out, seemed to be very concerned with doing the will of His Father in heaven. And if you have gotten too spiritual for that, Jesus never did get that spiritual. Selah. That means pause, meditate. Come to your senses. Get a grip on your life. Repent. And then verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, many. Oh, did any of you notice that word many? Many will say. In other words, it's not just one or two saying, Lord, Lord. Many will say in that day. By the way, what is the will of the Father anyway? He said, I want you to do the will of the Father. Well, I'll give you the simplest. Let me tell you what the simplest part of that is. The simplest is repent and believe the gospel. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Repent and believe the gospel. That is the will of the Father. And I can tell you right now, that's the will of the Father for every man on the planet and every woman on the planet. Now, after we do that, well, then, there's a lot of other wills of the Father found in Scripture, but that's the main one. Hey, miss that one and the rest of them won't do you one bit of good. You can keep the will of the Father by never fornicating. But if you don't repent and believe the gospel, it won't do you one bit of good to fornicate or not to fornicate. You say, oh, Don't divorce. You're talking to lost people and tell them not to divorce. God doesn't like divorce. Wrong message. Lost people, you know, they couldn't give a fig what God likes about divorce. That's the wrong message. So they don't divorce. If they don't repent and believe the gospel, they still go to hell, divorced or not. Don't get drunk. God doesn't want you to get drunk. And you're telling this to a lost person. Wrong message. So he never takes a drink. He still goes to hell unless he repents and believes the gospel. You hear what I'm saying? Now, once we do repent and believe the gospel, there in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, then he's got some other things to tell us about, now that you've done that, let me talk and become my child, let me talk to you about the ground rules so we can enjoy each other. Because now that you're mine, if you don't walk by the ground rules, though I'll always love you, you're not going to enjoy it. You know, remember when we were teenagers? There was a lot of times when we were teenagers, we didn't enjoy our parents. Right? Well, they were fools in the first place. We could all tell that. You know, I mean, they would tell us that you could go to certain places and get in trouble and do certain things and get in trouble. And look, I know that everyone else that ever lived got in trouble doing those things and going to those places, but my parents just didn't realize what they were dealing with and to whom they were speaking. Floyd the Magnificent, who could run faster, think farther, shoot straighter, and always be right, and had perfect insight. Oh, these poor parents. I had such perfect insight as to what to always do. And, of course, I never embarrassed myself, never made a fool of myself, never got into trouble. You know, none of those things ever happened to me. Sorry to hear about you. 22, again, I want to emphasize the word many. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Now, watch this, because some of you are totally deceived by much in charismatic Pentecostal movements, thinking that if anything... supernatural happens, it must be God. And it must have the blessings of God. Look, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not, look at this gift, prophesied. And look in thy name. That means it wasn't really in his name. That means that they said the words in the name of Jesus. If it had been in the name, really in the name, they would have been a disciple of Jesus. They would have been hearing from Jesus. And in thy name have, look at this, cast out demons. Oh, you can get a pretty good deliverance ministry going and not even be born again. Look at this. And in thy name, look at this, in thy name done many, many, look at that, the word many, wonderful works. Now you look at that. That's quite a, for those of you in here that are Catholic, and you think by being a good Catholic you're going to make it. Come on. Any of you ever made that? Look, that's a pretty good list. Prophesied, cast out demons, and done many wonderful works. And the idea here is, you know, many wonderful works. Because, you know, many churches, they are very works-oriented. Many wonderful works. Gave to the poor. Prayed for the blind. Some of them even get healed. I want you to see what Jesus says. He makes a good confession. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Can you believe the next statements? For someone that's prophesied, cast out demons, and done many wonderful works. Now, I want you to, who is the archetype of this? Do you realize? There's a man listening to this sermon, sitting right next to Jesus, who is the archetype, the archetype biblical example of a man that can say all this was true about him and call Jesus Lord, although he never did, as a matter of fact. He could have. It's Judas. Judas can say this. Listen, many times Judas went out with the others and did miracles and everything. Unsaved. You said, how? How? Because God met the need of the person. He didn't give a fig about that meatball that was the leader. Listen, in the wilderness, 3 to 10 million people were dying of thirst and Moses disobeyed God. Did God let everybody die because the Bible teacher, the preacher, sinned by striking the rock twice when God told him the second time to only go up and speak to the rock? Did he punish the sheep for what the shepherd did? No, the water came out of the rock and slaked their thirst. So you need to get, see, you people, there's a great danger in this room. There's a danger in this city. And it is that if something good happens, you think this man must be of God. If some sign or wonder happens, oh, this woman or this man must be a great Christian. The power of God's there. Read it. I'll go farther. It says they did many wonderful works and prophesied. The Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Joseph Smith was charismatic. Spoke in tongues. Believed in all the gifts of the healing. Mormons do. They believe in them. They're not even born again. You say, well, where is it coming from? Obviously, there's a counterfeit. And it's a spiritual experience. That's a real experience for them. And they do many wonderful works. Of course. But see, that doesn't mean you're born again. It's what you do with Jesus that counts. And what they've done with Him is make Him a lesser God. He says, depart from me. Now look at this. Can you believe these next words? Ye that work iniquity. I can't believe that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Didn't you see? We prophesied, we cast out demons and did many wonderful works. He said, you worked iniquity. No, no, no. We did it in your name. See, I'm trying to tell you, some of you think I'm too hard-nosed. I know some of you that won't even invite people to come because you're afraid I'll offend them. You wouldn't have invited anyone to hear John the Baptist. And I can't button his shoelaces, and he couldn't button Jesus's. Compared to the real men in the Bible, I give milk toast. I'm trying to work up to what they did. Trying to get my courage up. Trying to walk in the Spirit that much. See, I want you to understand that many cults can say these very words. But Jesus said, I never knew you. You're a worker of iniquity. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever, now watch this is very important. Whosoever heareth these sayings of Floyd the Magnificent. Oh, I'm sorry, it didn't say that. These sayings of the Pope. Oh, I'm sorry, those words aren't there. Gosh, I thought it was. You know, surely it is. The Catholics all tell me it must be. These words of Joseph Smith. These words of Rutherford, whatever cult we're talking about. These words of the head of the Baptist Convention, the head of the Pentecostal Convention, the head of the John Wesley. No, no, Wesley would never call for that. No, these words of mine. Now, I want to call your attention before I elaborate. Back at verse 21, it says, he that doeth the will of the Father. Remember, I put the word do on the board and said I was going to have fun with it. Going to come back to it. That it wasn't really right, but it holds you till I got there. Doeth. See, the problem with the word doeth is most of you don't realize that when Tyndale translated from the Greek that Erasmus put together, the Textus Receptus, and put it into English, Tyndale actually invented a language, a Bible language. He went back and selected and resurrected words that had been dead for several hundred years in the English language that were no longer used because they had the same verb tenses and meanings that the Greek and the Hebrew had and put them in the Bible deliberately. See, some of you don't understand the first thing about King James English. King James English was not the language of the people in King James's day. Many of the words were not. Tyndale invented a biblical language. You see, doeth is not the same as do. All your modern translations say do. That misses the whole point and isn't even... See, and in doing so, it weakens it. See, doeth... See that E-T-H, the part that you hate? You know, the part that people tell me all the time, oh boy, when you put an eth on it, an eth, well then I can't read it, don't know what it means, I'm lost, I've got to have something that, that's easy to communicate. Well, I believe in ease to communicate, but I don't believe in giving up the ability to, I don't believe in accepting the ability to communicate over faithfulness to what God actually said. See, I'd rather know what God said, even if it's hard to understand, than have something easy to understand like the Living Bible, which many times isn't at all what God said. In fact, none of it is, hardly. Because He tells you it's not a Bible. It's a paraphrase. Listen to me. If it's a paraphrase, it's in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. Paraphrasing automatically isn't the Word of God. It'll hit you in a minute. I'm not saying Ken Taylor's demon-possessed. I understand that. He's a brother. But he should have never called it a Bible, and none of you should ever refer to it as a Bible. It is not a Bible. A Bible is, what did God say? Doeth. Doeth. This is the same exact word in context and everything that we find in 1 John chapter 3 that talks about those that doeth not sin. Those that sinneth not. This, that, and everybody scratches their head. It's because we don't use the word anymore. We don't know what it means. The eth ending is continuous action. It's a continuous action word. In other words, God isn't saying, now, I want you to just, I want you one time when temptation to fornicate comes not to do it. After that, of course, you're free to go. Oh, come on, gang. Of course not. That isn't Christianity. Surely you understand that. No, do it. See, now do. To say, do the will of the Father. See, you could try and make that just one time. Oh, I did the will of the Father. He said, read your Bible. So I read it today. That did it. Whew. I got that chore out of my way. Now I've got 48 more years left to not have to do that anymore. You hear what I'm saying to you? No, doeth means continuous action. Now, that doesn't mean... Now, don't go the opposite side of the coin and say, oh my gosh, Holiness Pentecostal now is going to grab us. Now, we must always, never fail. We must continue. Great faith always, day in, day out. I mean, come on. If you're honest with yourself on that one, you'd give up in a short period of time because you're going to blow it before the day's over, most likely. And you don't have to, but you probably will. No Christian has to sin. I want all of you to understand that. I don't know any of them that didn't, but you don't have to. What do you want me to teach you? That's a doctrine? If you're a Christian, you have to sin? Have you done yours yet today? You haven't? Well, good grief, sir. You better get busy and do a sin before we leave here, because his doctrine is Christians sin every day. And he hadn't sinned yet. And if he hadn't sinned yet, well, gang, we better vote him out because he's not a Christian. He isn't one of us. He hadn't done his deed for the day. Now, you get with it. No, Christians don't have to sin every day. Don't ever have to sin another time from the moment you get saved till the day you die. If you don't understand that the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit isn't enough to keep you from having to sin, you don't know the first thing about what Christianity is all about and why God put the Holy Spirit in you to start with. Now, if we're going to say that you haven't got the power living in you not to sin, Christianity is a failure. It may be good after you die, but it's lousy here. No Christian has to sin. We usually choose to. I knew I shouldn't have told her off, but I just couldn't resist. Yeah, you can. Didn't want to. Had a choice to follow God and to please your father or to please yourself. You didn't do it. You dude. You fought it once, you fought it twice, and the third time, that's twice. I did the Father's will. Twice I felt like telling her to fly a kite left-handed, but I didn't. And twice is enough for any Christian. Now, brace yourself, honey. I'm going to tell you how the cow ate the cabbage. You didn't do it. Mm-hmm. Whosoever. See, many of us think... And see, this is the weakness in Christianity. Look at, whosoever heareth these things. Oh, yes, Brother Floyd, I went to Sunday school and I heard them 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 and I heard them, but I didn't do them, I didn't do them, I didn't do them. Now, I want to tell you that a lot of you think you got saved when you were very young, and some of you did. But I'm going to tell you about a lot of you that think you got saved when you were young. You didn't. No, you heard, and you went to Sunday school, and you heard those words, and you could even, get your little old star for memorizing and getting them first place at the sword drills. Now, for those, now you Lutherans in here and you Episcopalians, you know, you don't know what a sword drill is from nothing, because over at your church, just to tell you to open the Bible to John 3:16 probably was more than you could handle.